Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Any man who takes on the position of pastor has put himself into a precarious position. You heard James, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus, confirm that very thing today, first verse of our epistle reading. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Your pastor will be judged with greater strictness and more scrutiny than you when Christ comes again. Don't get me wrong and don't get the scriptures wrong here. We are all sinners, as James verifies, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. We know that there's only been one perfect man. None of us are perfect. All of us misspeak. All of us sin with our tongues. If we think we don't, then we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Pastors also misspeak. Repent. Repent. I remember one of my favorite teachers saying to me one day, and to all of us in class one day, he had a very loud voice, "Guys, when you get out there, you're going to mess up. There are going to be times that you have to eat crow. Don't worry about it, guys. Crow ain't so bad. You'll get used to it." And we do. Your pastors, we mess up. We ask you to forgive us, and we ask God to forgive us. We're called to repent. By the grace of God, we do. James continues, "If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things." Dear ones, the tongue is a very small part of the entirety of the human body. It's very small, but many times the tongue boasts of great things of which the bearer is not capable and has not done. The tongue of man reveals a prideful, wild, sinful, black heart, going its own misguided way. All of us need to bridle our tongues, but on our own we are unable to bridle our tongues in a God-pleasing fashion. The God who bridles all of creation must bridle our tongues with His Word. Especially any man who would teach or preach. And listen to James continue as to how dangerous the tongue is. "How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. Like a cigarette butt thrown out of a car, the tiny tongue set in motion thoughtlessly, or maybe even thoughtfully, can set the world afire with unrighteousness." The second commandment, which speaks of our relationship with God, says, "You should not misuse the name of the Lord your God." And from the Small Catechism, we read, what does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by His name, but call upon it in every trouble. Pray, praise, and give thanks. The tongue does all of these things. Curse, swear, use satanic arts, liar deceived by his name. But it can also do good things. Call upon the name of God in every trouble. Pray, praise, and give thanks. And then to the eighth commandment we go, you shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor. And from the small catechism we read, what does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. But who in here, and you don't have to raise your hands, who in here has never gossiped about his or her neighbor? Our tongues are unrighteous and unclean because they deliver words that portray the evil content of our black, sinful hearts. And James continues as he speaks about the tongue, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So it is with our tongues. The words that we speak can be like poison, doing great harm to our bodies, souls, and spirits, and to the bodies, souls, and spirits of other people. James continues, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Our normal manner as Christians is that we bless God and the people He has created in His very image and likeness. We should never curse God, His name, or His people. This passage from James began as a warning to those who would teach. Those who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. And the thing that is so dangerous to the teacher or preacher in the church is false doctrine. False doctrine. And that is one of the many reasons why your pastors take a vow when they are ordained and installed to remain true to the Holy Scriptures as the true, inerrant, and infallible Word of God. Inerrant meaning that it has no errors. The Scriptures have no errors. Infallible meaning the Scriptures are not capable of errors. And we are to remain true to the teaching of the Book of Concord that holds our confessions and teachings that we acknowledge to be the true exposition, not a true exposition, but the true exposition of the inerrant and infallible Scriptures. The loose tongues of mankind, pastor or not pastors, are wild and unruly winds, forest fires out of control, deadly poisons, all of which would lead people to hell. It was these loose tongues that Christ died for also. He heard them from the cross. If you're really the Son of Man, Son of God, come down. All of those things they said to him. All of the cursings. All of the mocking. He died for all of that, for all the gossip, the cursing, for all the vain words against God and man. Christ died for them all, brothers and sisters, for they all reflect our evil hearts. And dear ones, our hearts, they are black and evil. Only the forgiveness of God in Christ, in word and sacrament, confession and absolution, can give us good consciences toward God. Baptism now saves us and gives us a good conscience toward God. Christ gives us a good conscience toward God. He is not angry with you. He loves you. Loves you so much that He's jealous. He's a jealous God. Loves you so much that He sent His Son into the flesh to die for you. Even with your black heart, even with your loose tongue, He loves you with a love that we can't understand, and He gives us His grace. His undeserved pardon, we can have a clear conscience toward God. Jesus' warning is to pastor and teachers in Christ's church, but it is also a warning to all of us because all of our tongues are sinful and deadly. Tie your tongues to the Word of God through Holy Scriptures. There's been many times I wish that Jesus were the only word I could say. That way I wouldn't have to worry about erring. Wouldn't have to worry about my loose tongue. Tie your tongues to Christ. May the Lord give you the strength of His will through the Word and the sacraments by which He comes to be present with you this morning in the divine service. I pray that the Lord will create in you a hunger, a great hunger, a craving for the Word of God. O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.